Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking and living in Hawaii on this gorgeous rainy morning. I know there are some people who just think, including my husband, who think that I'm a little odd because every time it rains here, we get so excited. But it's gorgeous and we need it and the farmers need it, so we're happy to have it. But you're not somebody who celebrates the rain coming down, are
well,
you?
When there are elements here like our farmers that need the rain, I'm not, you know, I'm not a curmudgeon. I get it. It's just that if someone had said to me, if there were no other considerations, what do I prefer? Hmm. I prefer it nice, bright,
you prefer
and sunny.
It like 84 degrees every day.
Sunny and trades and all that. Yeah, that's what I like.
So despite the weather, here we are, still broadcasting at home as the city starts to kind of fully open up. We're going to be talking about the effect of that on restaurants and all of our favorite bars and food purveyors this morning, because of course it is having massive effects that have only really just begun to come to the surface as people are starting to see the long-term effects of what this has had on their restaurants. We do have some really good guests this morning, so I'm so looking forward to it. And Bobby, one of our guests today, you are going to be extremely excited about this. So we're going to talk in a little bit to Stu Simmons, who's the CEO of Seafood Connection. And Seafood Connection have been around in Hawaii serving the top hotels and restaurants for a couple of decades. I mean, I'm going to say maybe approaching 30 years. So they're extremely well known, very high end. They bring in the best seafood in the world. So, you know, if you're in a steakhouse and you're ordering Tristan lobster tails or the best diver scallops, they're coming in through. But guess what? Since the pandemic, they've had to pivot like a lot of other food businesses, and they're now selling to the public. So we all now have the opportunity to go and buy all of that super high-end seafood, king crab legs and scallops.
What are we waiting for?
Well, exactly. So we're going to chat with him this morning and just, you know, find out how it all works. You can actually order online, and I do believe they even deliver to your home. So that's going to be fun this morning. But isn't that really good?
That's fabulous.
So we'll do that to celebrate Hawaii's win on Saturday. This is a very exciting weekend. I mean, this is a weekend that, for various reasons, we thought we might not actually see.
Well, for a long time, I mean, it had been canceled. We weren't going to see it. And then there was, again, as so many places, businesses, and everything else have done, there was a pivot. And part of it had to do with the increased availability of testing. I'm amazed. I thought that the inability to test for some of the schools because of the price was going to disqualify the Mountain West. I'm like, how are places like San Jose State, New Mexico, how are they going to pay for the testing? But the Mountain West said, we are going to pay for all of it with out of the reserve fund. Every school is being tested by Quest, a huge company out of Denver, three times a week. It's actually a very beautiful thing.
And so they should really pay for it. I mean, no reason to penalize the schools and make them pay for it themselves, yeah?
Well, I just didn't know if the Mountain West had that much in their reserve fund. This is going to cost, I'm just giving you a rough estimate, it's probably $250,000 per school, roughly. I mean, that's kind of a lot of money when there's 12 teams in the conference.
Yeah, that's a big number, you're right. It's interesting, though, isn't it, how out of the pandemic, a lot of other businesses have surfaced. I mean, there was a report came out yesterday on Hawaii businesses and how they're doing and who's paying rent. And for the most part, I mean, 68% of businesses surveyed did not pay rent or full rent from April and don't anticipate being able to do it at least until 2021. But the interesting thing is there's about 4% of people who are thriving. I mean, new businesses, and that would be one of them. I mean, people who are testing, anyone who's involved in that, it's just there's businesses that come out of disaster and tragedy that, I mean, people who are selling masks, you know, all the PPE equipment, for example. But that aside, I know you've discussed this at length on your show all week because everyone is very interested in the outcome, but it must be quite difficult because never before have you all gone to do a game where you haven't been at practice, you haven't seen the players. Even last night on call, the coach was talking about the fact that some players are there one day, then another one is there the other day, and you just don't know what's going to happen. That must bring with it a level of I mean, it's the unknown, really. Have you ever experienced anything like this where you were going into football season?
No. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are three players that will play a lot on offense who I couldn't pick them out of a lineup. I mean, there's a receiver named Rico Bussey, who's a senior transfer from North Texas. And there is a fabulous other receiver named Zion Bowens from Southern California. And there's a running back, Calvin Turner, who last year was the quarterback at Jacksonville State. They dropped football. So he was able to transfer without penalty. He's going to be a backup at running back. I mean, these are three really impact players, none of whom I could walk into them in a store and I would have no idea. That's never happened to me before.
Never, because you really put in so much time meeting
them.
Well,
that's the fun.
Yeah, I know you enjoy that so much. And getting their names right and the pronunciations right. And I've never seen anyone put so much work into doing
that. Well, I blew last night on the show.
Oh, how funny. What
Bowens' last... I didn't say Zion Bowens' name properly, but Todd Graham, I love this because a lot of guys won't correct you, and that perpetuates wrongness. So he corrected, and got it, and I won't make that mistake ever again.
There you go. That's a similar thing just happened to me this morning. I've been calling, one of our guests today is Chef Mark Freiberg, and he runs a company called Green Apron. For the longest time, he was the head chef at Neiman Marcus. A lot of people know him from there, and before that, other restaurants that we're all aware of. But he has this great company now. He's very focused on healthful food and good eating, and I've probably been talking to him and interviewing him at least for a decade, and I'm going to say probably more, maybe about 15 years. And his name is spelled Freiberg, which in European would be Freiberg. And I've been calling him Mark Freiberg for about 15 years. And this morning he texted me and said, by the way, my name's pronounced Freiberg.
That's tough after 15 years.
I know.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you can laugh at that. A lot of people would be under the couch with the pulling the blankets over their head.
No, because I know I'm giving it the correct pronunciation because it's European. But I always forget that Americans tend to just change the
pronunciation. See, I would have looked at that spelling and it would have been Freiberg all day long.
Well, now you said I should be embarrassed. Maybe I am, but I'm not really. I mean, I just do think, though, I would rather have the Todd Graham approach where they immediately tell you.
Oh, corrected immediately. Absolutely.
It just makes me wonder what else I've done over the past, 20 years on air and mispronounced or whatever, and people have just, hopefully not too much, because I think I'm like you. I do put a lot of effort into it. So that's our show this morning. So the seafood connection, I'm really looking forward to talking to Stu. Mark Freiberg, we're going to chat with him about not only Green Apron and how you can get their really good, healthful food, but he started to do kids' meals, and I love this. So he's doing healthful kids' boxes, bento boxes, that are prepared for 3 days at a time for a couple of kids. So if you're parents of children who are at home schooling, one of the things you do not need to worry about anymore is how are we going to give them healthy food. These bentos, you can just keep them in the fridge. You can label them and say to the kids, here's lunch. Here's lunch for tomorrow. I think that's a really valuable thing for very stressed out parents. And then our first guest this morning, I am so looking forward to talking to Melissa Chang. So Melissa Chang, of course, is the lady who is everywhere in all the restaurants and has a fantastic blog. She blogs for Frolic Hawaii. But Melissa has been doing this for years. And she also has a PR background, so she's really on it. She's very fun to talk to. She really knows what she's talking about, and she's really experienced. But this morning we're going to be remembering one of our friends, someone in the food and wine community who was absolutely adored for his gentleness, his expertise, his kindness, his ability to share, his brilliance as a pastry chef. Ed Morita passed away a few weeks ago, and so we're going to be remembering him with Melissa in, I know, a really fun and positive way. So I'm looking forward to chatting about Ed with her, because he was just a great personality in the Hawaii food and wine scene, and we had him on our show several times in studio, I'm happy to say, because he always brought with him the most gorgeous pastries and desserts. So Melissa will be joining us pretty soon this morning. So we're looking forward to today, and then we will be looking forward to hearing from you all on your travels. I mean, the beginning of an interesting weekend, and then a very busy week for football. Because
you know, I'll give you this little tidbit. This is life on the road with me.
Is this a scoop?
Well, not really. It's just that one of the things we always look forward to with my various broadcast partners over the years was, you know, trying to scope out really good rest.
Because
every city has, and you talk to people, and I kind of know who to go to. You know, bartenders are a great source of it. Is there any new restaurants that are really, there's a place, so-and-so.
Yeah, they're the best.
That's all, that's kind of gone now because you just feel like going into a restaurant, unless there's almost no bar component, I just would feel very hesitant to do that. So it's mostly, you know, semi-fast food, grab and go, and eat in your room.
It's going to be a different experience, but you will have some amazing social media in the areas that you travel to where you'll find out who has the best delivery, the best takeout. It will kind of be a different exploration of food, and you can come back and tell us all about it.
Okay, will do.
All right, well, have a good trip. I think what we'll do is go and take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have our first guest join us this morning. Melissa Chang will be with us. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran. We are here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, living, and a tiny bit of sports in Hawaii, getting bigger and bigger on sports, of course. You know, before we stop talking to you for a little bit, I wanted to share with everyone, there may be a lot of people who have not had the chance to do this yet, but outdoor dining is becoming, obviously, the preferred way to eat. And we went out on Friday night and had a fantastic time outdoors at Murphy's Bar and Grill.
That wasn't Friday, was it?
That was last Friday, I think, yeah. And whenever it was fabulous. We had a really good time.
Monday.
But the outdoors that they've created in the back, they've done it beautifully. It's a fabulous place to sit. And I think if you don't know yet about outdoors at Murphy's or the backyard at Murphy's, whatever they're calling it, go and check it out because, it was just fabulous.
It was fabulous. By the way, the tables are really spread apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is the perfect socially distanced way to enjoy a meal in tough times.
And you really are sitting out under the stars. I mean, it's got that nice urban feel because, you know, you're in the middle of the city, but you're outside and there's umbrellas.
It's really good.
So, yeah, go
cool.
Check it out. They're open every day and every evening from about 5 o'clock. It's really, 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 really awesome. Our next guest, Melissa Chang, you will know her best as one of our most popular bloggers. She's been blogging since about 2007. And Melissa also has about 25 years of experience in PR and marketing. She's an independent marketing consultant, and she's joining us this morning. Hey, how are you, Melissa?
Good morning.
Good morning. You have quite a long bio there nowadays, don't you?
No. That's what happens when I get old.
No, I know. I'm always looking at things that started, and I'm like, I found a whole bunch of Gusto magazines the other day when I was doing some decluttering. I found about 3 years' worth, which was really an adventure in itself. And some of the people who we still know to this day, who are still working in the bar industry, the restaurant industry, there are pictures of them in there, and honestly, it looks like they're in high school. It was so long ago.
Wow, that's cool.
I'm thinking of doing like a kind of retro on Instagram of just posting all those pictures from, it's got to be like almost 30 years.
Wow, yeah, anyway. You should do that every Thursday.
Yes, should do that. You know, we want to talk to you, obviously, about what's going on in Hawaii, because it's always fun to chat about who your new favorite places are. But before we do, Ed Morita, he was one of the original bloggers, but in terms of a personality and a person of enormous grace and sharing and the ability to make you feel that whatever he knew, you were going to know as well. What an extraordinary man he was. I know very close to him, yeah?
Yes, he was one of the original people in social media here in Hawaii. So that's how I actually met him. And he had his blog called Baker's Hours because he's a pastry chef. But yeah, he passed away a few weeks ago, and he just left a hole in all of our hearts, just leaving.
He was quite ahead of his time, because while he was working as a pastry chef, I think he was at Longy's when I first met him, so that was quite a while
Correct.
Ago. He was one of the first people I remember taking really beautiful pictures and starting to post them to social media. And then my remembrance of him is that anything he did, he would just share. Like, you would ask him, oh, could I have that recipe? He'd be like, yes. Or he'd
yeah.
come into the studio to be on the radio and bring something amazing with him, and he'd say, do you want the recipe? It's quite unique, isn't it, that somebody who was really leading the field was so had the ability to share so much.
Yeah, I guess his whole thing was very, and I didn't realize until he passed, like, he was all about teamwork and just collaborating on things. So he didn't mind sharing his knowledge, as long as, you know, at some point you kind of referred back to him, but and didn't actually outright steal his stuff. But he loved sharing his knowledge, and, you know, he got so much more back in return that it just made all of us better people, not just him, you know. And yeah, and he just delighted in seeing people love his pastry creations. So.
He was an extremely talented pastry chef, and I think quite humble. I think he probably could have done even more, because I think his pastry skills were just extraordinary. What do you remember, like, the most fondly about him?
Oh, gosh, so many different memories. One thing about him was, as a blogger, he liked to take on controversial food issues, and he wasn't afraid of the activists. He wasn't afraid of the death threats. So many years ago, I don't know if you recall, there was a bill in the Senate, the local Senate, to ban the sale of foie gras in Hawaii.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he rallied against that, and he wrote a blog post about it, going point by point, disputing what the activists were talking about. And he got all kinds of death threats, but the bill was killed. And at the end, Hudson Valley foie gras on the mainland, they surprised him by sending him a huge box of foie gras products. And he went to
I remember that so clearly, and his part, his activism in it. But I also, when you think back, people might think saying that there were death threats, that's an exaggeration. No, it wasn't. That was such a controversial time. And I remember we spoke to the owners of Hudson Valley on the show, and people were absolutely violently opposed one way or the other. Incredible to think back and remember that, actually, isn't it?
I know, yeah. And he thought it was just so funny. Like, he would get these death threats and be like, ha-ha, look at this one.
Okay, so that was one of the things about him, too, his extraordinary sense of humor. I mean, he was smiling and laughing any time you saw him. I mean, I know not always is a person's public face their private face, but he did have an extraordinary generosity of spirit and a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he always had a funny wisecrack about just about everything, and it was all kind of a dry humor, so he would always, like, tickle my funny bone.
He is, I'm sure, still with us in many ways, and one of the ways he's definitely still with us is he's left recipes. You can actually create some of Ed Morita's chocolate chip cookies, for example, and there's still a part of him there. Melissa, I think that's one of the most amazing things about food, is you can remember somebody so well by the taste or the smell of a dish.
Yes, always. And he made the best chocolate chip cookies.
Can we share with people where they can get that recipe so that they can go on remembering Ed and his wonderful recipes as well?
Yes. So he was a blogger with us at frolichawaii.com. And you can do a search for chocolate chip cookies, or I did a tribute blog for him when he passed, and we included a link to that recipe, so you don't have to dig too far.
So just go to frolichawaii.com, where, of course, you can read all of Melissa's wonderful work. And if you just do chocolate chip cookie or a better chocolate chip cookie, you're going to link right away to Ed's wonderful recipe. And I am going to make them tonight just in celebration of him. I think it's just one of the most lovely things you can do. You know, before we let you go, where are you? I mean, obviously, times are so challenging, but there are restaurants opening. There are new places popping up. There's people who are adapting and changing. Where are you eating and drinking right now that's exciting you?
Oh, gosh, so many places. But one of my favorite new places is actually Istanbul, which is in Ward Village. Mm-hmm. Have you been there? Yeah.
They have Indeed, Turkish food. I have.
Oh, so good. So good. And they have outdoor seating. So if you're kind of squeamish about sitting indoors, you can sit out on the patio.
Their food is so different from any, I think, from any other Mediterranean food that people will have had here. And if you don't believe Melissa and I, taste Ahu's baklava. I don't think there's anything like it. Yeah.
That it's made fresh. There's nothing like it.
That's a really good one. I'm so glad you mentioned them. Where else? Where else are you loving right now?
Out in Kapolei, there's a new place called Tanaka Ramen, if you want simpler taste. And she actually went to school at UH, and she had to open restaurants in Hawaii in the mainland, because in Hawaii it's too expensive. And then she always wanted to come back to Hawaii to open her restaurant. So she's out there, and then she's going to open in Ala Moana in a few weeks, and then in Pearl Ridge. Another one that's new-ish is Miro Kaimuki.
Yes, with Chris Kachioka.
And actually, speaking of ramen, he's opening a Saimin restaurant in 3 weeks in the old Agu space on Eisenberg Street.
So that, I think, is a perfect space. He's partnering with Mark Noguchi, and I think if you want to get a taste of what happens when really amazing chefs do their best local, I think we might be in for a treat there. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Have you had a preview yet of any of their dishes?
No, I haven't. He said he's still practicing.
Well, tell him to practice on you, then you can blog about it for us.
I know!
You know, there's so much going on, and we haven't even yet talked about the donut craze, which is about to be upon us, between Purvey expanding and Holy Grail opening. There's just whole new wave of donuts coming into town.
I know. It's. I guess people love their comfort food, and now more than ever, donuts are the thing. And Purvey and Holy Grail, they put a fancy twist on this simple treat. And I like Holy Grail's mission, because they use local taro in their donuts. Mm-hmm. And they try to use local ingredients in their toppings.
Yeah, and they're just very fun. The both of them are just really, they're very cool, they're very hip, they're very into giving back to the community, both Purvey and Holy Grail. So yeah, I think out of this is coming a whole new approach, in a way, for a lot of restaurants to dining. And I think we're, of course, there's hard times ahead, but I think we're in for some really interesting times in the food world. And I'm so happy that we can rely on you to be writing about it and photographing it.
And
it's really lovely to have you. I would love to talk to you in a couple of weeks, when we'll talk about some of more. There's about 5 new restaurants about to open. I think all of them are going to make their mark on the culinary scene. So let's catch up right before the holidays and chat about who's doing what.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Melissa. Melissa Chang is a blogger for frolichawaii.com. She has more than 2 decades of experience in PR and marketing, and she's an independent marketing consultant, which means if you ever wanted Melissa to help you with your social media, you just need to call her up. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. We are going to go and take a really short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Stu Simmons of Seafood Connection. You do not want to miss this conversation. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry. We do this every Thursday morning, bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, plus more and more and more sports every Thursday morning with Bobby Curran. We're so delighted to be back and that we're able to chat a little about what's going on in the world of sports as well, especially as college football and University of Hawaii has its first game this weekend. If you want to know more about what we do and our work with restaurants, then go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, and you'll see some of our wonderful clients and the work that we do with them. One of the fun things about this show, in all the years that I've been doing it, my favorite thing is to bring to our listeners, to you guys, exceptional opportunities in the food world. That can be anything from finding the best, tiniest little mom and pop to finding the most outrageous special occasion restaurant. And this morning, Bobby, you are just going to love this one because I know you are such a fan of high quality seafood and you miss your New York fix of going to Peter's Clam Bar.
Oh,
it's the
goodness.
First place you go when you go home.
No,
right?
I do that oftentimes before I get to visit family.
I know.
I stopped there on the way. You know that.
I do, and they don't like it, but it's true. You do it. So this morning, we are so happy to tell you about something new that's happening at Seafood Connection. Seafood Connection has, for many, many years, been the experts in bringing the highest quality crustaceans and shellfish and specialty seafood to the islands, but they're doing something different. The CEO, Stu Simmons, is joining us this morning. Hi, Stu. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Stu.
Good morning, Joe and Bobby.
Nice to talk to you. I've been sort of getting Bobby amped up this morning about what you're offering to us. Obviously, the pandemic's brought with it some catastrophic changes for businesses. And in the restaurant business, people have had to pivot. Tell us a little bit, firstly, about the history of Seafood Connection and how you've changed through the past 8 months.
Well, thank you, Joe. We've been in business for over 30 years, and we've been a supplier primarily to fine dining restaurants and the resort hotels throughout the Hawaiian Islands. And we're the largest distributor of what I would call specialty gourmet crustaceans, shellfish, and specialty seafood. And so what we focus on is lobster, crabs, scallops, caviar, exotic seafood from around the world, crab and clams and those type of products. And we've been selling to the best restaurants and the best resort hotels in the islands for a long time. And we're known for finding really unique and interesting products and finding things that are premium quality.
Stu, I'm guessing that one of my favorite, it's a bit of a high-end treat, but some of the high-end restaurants will have some version of a seafood tower. And I am almost, I can just, from what you're saying, guarantee that most of the products on the seafood tower have come from you guys.
That is true, Bobby. Yeah, we find some really unique and interesting products, and of course the seafood tower is it's a great way to display them, and it's always fun when you have that that New Zealand langoustine, you know, with its claws hanging over the side, and of course beautiful oysters from British Columbia or whatever it may be on the seafood tower. It makes it really fun.
Stu, how do you source the very unusual seafood products that you find? I mean, I know obviously you've been in the industry for, you know, more than 30 years, but there must be an art to finding things. I mean, sometimes, you know, you look in restaurants, you go, wow. Like, I remember when we first had the Tristan lobster tails, maybe 25 years ago, they first started to appear in Hawaii. I just was amazed at how beautiful they were, how sweet they are, and where had they come from? How did they get here? Tell us a tiny bit about, you know, how it happens.
Well, it's my passion, so it's something that I get excited every day. And basically, we're this really good at sniffing out and searching the world for these exotic products. We like to say there's seven seas for us to search, but there's actually over 100. And we just do an excellent job, and it's a kind of a networking. I do a lot of traveling, and I And I let my fingers do the walking, too. You know, I do a lot of phone calls, and I talk to different suppliers around the world, and I'll say, hey, what do you think about this or that, or do you know anyone in the industry, you know, and maybe in Africa or in South America or wherever it may be, and then they'll tell me, oh, yeah, you know, I've seen this product, and then I'll contact them, and we start a relationship, and that's how it's kind of worked. The Tristan lobster is really, really interesting. It's a little island in the South Atlantic in between Argentina, Antarctica, and South Africa. So it's really cold waters. What's so unique about it is it's like 2,000 to 3,000 miles away from any other landmass, and there's only 300 people who live there. And basically all they do is produce lobster. We like to call it the Willy Wonka of lobster factories. And wow. And they do make the most exceptional lobster in the world. So unique. It's only really found in certain markets around the world. You can find it in Paris. You can find it in London. You can find it in New York City, Tokyo, and Hawaii. And so it's not something that you can find anywhere. And we're so proud to be the exclusive distributor for that product.
Well, I've been your biggest fan of that since I first tasted it. And you're right, you don't find it around the world in every single market. So it is amazing that
it's here.
And
I just learned how to say it.
Yeah. It's been our morning for that, I think. Stu, obviously, you know, everyone's pivoting, everyone's changing, everyone's trying to make things work as best we can. Tell us about how Seafood Connection is now able to provide a service to the public that we did not have before.
Yeah, so we've definitely had to pivot to survive. And basically, we have started a retail operation via our web store. And that's at www.seafood-connection.com. And so we've started selling to the public, and people can come to our warehouse in Kaka'ako. It's very convenient, just right off Ward Avenue. Or they can have it actually delivered to their home. We started a home delivery service about a week ago, and that's working out really, really well. So it's something we've had to do. We still, of course, support the hotels and the restaurants, and we hope the public continues to support them. They really need all the help they can get. They're still going to be our bread and butter business, but we have to definitely keep selling our products in order to stay in business.
Yeah, and I think it's just another way of us all supporting the chain. Like, we all want the best restaurants to open again. We want every restaurant to be open. And in the meantime, we have to support the suppliers who supply the restaurants. Because if you go away, then when the restaurants reopen, there won't be that reach for the best products in the world. So I think that's one of the reasons this morning that I just want to really encourage everybody to go to seafood-connection.com. Check out the website. The website is extremely user-friendly. You literally can see. I might have to keep Bobby away from the website this morning because he'll be ordering everything. But you can see easily the products, their wholesale prices, and as Stu just said, brought either delivered to you or you can pick them up at the warehouse. Stu, are people aware? I mean, are you having a big, big response already from the public, or is this something that you're just starting and people are just starting to get the word?
You know, with this starting it, so we are getting a nice response and a lot of great support from the different consumers in both on Oahu and the Outer Islands, too, because we've done some shipments to the Outer Islands. And it's been very, very positive, but we definitely want to get the word out. And, you know, what we're finding is we have so many people say, wow, I had no idea I could get this type of product, because you just don't see it in the supermarkets, the big box stores.
Can I ask something, Stu? One
sure.
of the things, I don't know to what extent you find that part of your focus is having to be educating. Even probably some restaurant buyers. I can give you an example. When I go home and I love the clams on the half shell, when I go into a place, I order tops, top necks, which is, as you would know, a grating size between little necks and cherry stones. I found when I once placed that had clams on the half shell, when I asked for top necks, they said, no, you must be talking about something else. It's little necks or cherry stones. And I thought, well, that's interesting because obviously a lot of people don't even have an, it's a distinction other people don't make.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bobby. And of course, as you know, that's an East Coast product, and so it's very, very rare to find it here in Hawaii. We do bring it in. At the moment, I don't have any in stock, but it's a, such mm-hmm. a great clam and a great product. And you're right, the consumer and even some chefs are unaware of some of these great things that are out there. And the fascinating thing about the seafood industry is there is, you know, thousands and thousands of different species of different types of shellfish and fish available. And that's what we love to do, is to find those interesting things to bring them into the Hawaii market and make them available.
We're talking with Stu Simmons. He's the CEO of Seafood Connection, and they are now making their exquisite seafood, usually reserved only for the top restaurants in town, available to us. We want to encourage you to go to their website, seafood-connection.com, where you can see why we're so excited to be bringing you this really cool news. Stu, I wanted to ask you, I think all of us are aware, we've heard so much about the environment since March and how the planet appears to have been going through a healing process just because of the lack of people, you know, trampling all over it. Have you noticed changes in your own field? I mean, are the oceans producing more? Are the markets showing some changes that you might not have seen before?
Well, you know, that is kind of interesting. You know, in my opinion, I think things are getting better. You know, one, aquaculture is just booming around the world. And you'd be amazed at the different places around the world. I mean, many places in Africa and, of course, all through South America, Asia, even here in the U.S., we're seeing more and more aquaculture farms coming online with different species and different products. And then as far as the world fisheries go, you know, the management has gotten so much better. And I think everyone has realized that creating sustainable fisheries is the future for all of us, because if these fisheries disappear, then the products will not be available. So, you know, the good practices that many of the fishermen are taking on, you know, I'm just impressed with, and I think the future looks bright as far as overall production of seafood. But water temperature and other issues, you know, these are unknowns on what impact they will have on the fisheries, you know, and in some cases, you know, we've seen fisheries for various reasons increase in production and decrease in production, and these are some of the mysteries that the scientists are still working on.
Stu, I have a question for you. I get, and on the face of it, it seems like this, you know, sort of the aquaculture and the ability to farm raise some fish seems like such an unbelievable idea, but it seems like there's some kind of a bias against it, because how many times do I see a place say wild caught something or other, as if somehow that's superior? What's up with that?
Well, in some ways it is. I mean, it's hard to duplicate Mother Nature, and I can tell you, you know, quite honestly, wild shrimp, for example, is superior in the flavor profile to farm raised. But with that said, I'm seeing more and more of these very unique farms come out that do this a great job with their product. You know, we have a beautiful shrimp from New Caledonia. We brought in a great shrimp from Madagascar, from a French company that started a farm down there. And the flavor profile is much, much different than maybe some of the shrimp we've gotten out of Asia that are farm raised. So it's kind of interesting. I think, you know, the development of the aquaculture keeps getting better and better. But, you know, going back to your question on the wild salmon, you know, wild salmon is such a beautiful and wonderful product. But I have to say, I've seen better and better quality farm-raised salmon. Some of the farm-raised salmon I've seen out of Scotland, it's very impressive.
Everything that comes out of Scotland is very impressive.
I think you're absolutely right there, Joe.
Especially Joe.
Yeah. Our best smoked salmon comes from Scotland.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing like it. Stu, I think it's obvious we could just sit and chat to you all morning. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of time to do that. So I want to thank you so much for being with us, for giving us such great information. And again, we're going to encourage everyone to go to seafood-connection.com and look at some of these amazing products that you can now buy at incredible wholesale pricing. Thank you so much for being with us. That was fun.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Bobby, and I hope I can come back.
Thanks, Stu. And I may see if you're at the warehouse today. I might see you later.
That sounds great. We're waiting for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're gonna go and take a really short break. Honestly, I've got that website up right now, and he was just talking. Stu was just mentioning the head-on blue shrimp, the New Caledonia blue shrimp. They look incredible. But there's so much here. There's Japanese hamachi. There's wild blue shrimp. There's dozens of varieties of shrimp. There's scallops. There's that really high quality grade, sashimi grade scallops, caviar, octopus. I mean, go and take a look. It's really amazing.
I'm not kidding. I'm going down there.
I know you are. You can't be contained now that you know. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. All right. Break time. Stay with us. When we come back, Mark Freiberg is going to join us to talk about his plant-based foods. And if you have kids at home right now who are homeschooling, this might be a great help to you. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. If you weren't getting all the information that we were throwing out there this morning between the Ed Morita's recipe for his wonderful chocolate chip cookies, which I hope you will all go and make this weekend to remember him by, and the information from Sue about their incredible seafood, Bobby's just been pouring over the website and can't wait to go, then remember, we will podcast this show, and so we'll get it up as soon as we can so that you're able to find all the information and listen to it at your leisure. Joining us now for our last few minutes, Chef Mark Freiberg of Green Apron Hawaii. We were chatting yesterday about his very healthful meals, and he mentioned to me that he's even started to incorporate kids' boxes. I think that's an amazing idea. I've been asking for it for years. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm good. Thank you.
No, it's nice to talk to you. So tell us about your addition to your product line of kids' boxes, bentos. How does that work?
Okay. Yeah, so we recently started, actually this Saturday, tomorrow. Oh, no. This Saturday will be the first week of the Keiki boxes that we're doing through Chef Stone and I are partnering up. And I just felt like it was something that was needed with all the kids not physically back in school, doing some distance learning, and to relieve some stress from the moms out there, to create a lunch chef box created by me and my team. It's basically 3 days of lunches for two kids. So all you have to do is, you know, on the first day, just pop in, reheat, and eat, and you got something nice and healthy and homemade for lunch.
Now, are these part of the weekly chef's boxes at Chef Zone, part of your box, or are these going to be Keiki boxes on their own?
These are through Chef Zone, yeah. So I'm doing the heart healthy box. I'm behind that one at Chef Zone, and then also this is the newest box through Chef Zone and I as partnership.
I love it. It's a fantastic idea. For years I've always been amazed at how few healthful ready-made foods are out there for kids. The ones that look like they're healthy are not usually. And I'm so happy that you're doing this. Of course, we love Chef Zone and their innovative approach to getting good food out to the public. Your chef's box has been so popular that usually they have a chef for about a 3 or 4 weeks and they go, but you're there. You're like the permanent chef's box right now. Good for you.
Thank you. Yes, it's going great. I started with the big box, and then they moved on to Chef Keith Kong of Basalt, and I proposed a heart healthy box to them. And it's all plant-based, and they love the idea, and we just tried it out, and we're on our fourth week now and it's just been going strong, and it's we're selling out each week, and I'm really happily surprised with that.
I think one of the things that people are loving, Mark, is that many of us know we want to eat healthier, we want to give our kids healthier food, but just approaching some, you know, plant-based recipes and healthier recipes and incorporating different vegetables can be sort of a challenge in the everyday busy household week. I think what's great about your boxes is it's already there. You're inspiring people to try their own recipes once they've seen what you've done, and you're just making it also affordable. It's I think it's just a really awesome thing you're doing. People can read more and order either by going to greenapronhawaii.com, that's greenapronhi.com, or of course by going to Chef Zone, where the chef boxes are really selling out weekly. You've got to get in and order them a week before, pretty much. Hey, Mark, would you say that your approach to healthful cooking, and now particularly towards including kids' cakey boxes, has been a lot to do with your own family and the fact that you have little children?
Absolutely. I can really relate these days. I have a 1.5-year-old daughter and a about to be 5-year-old son, so I know exactly what all the parents are going through right now out there. And you know, it's just to relieve a little bit of that stress at home with a nice healthy meal, so the parents don't have to worry about that part of their daily routine is I know can be really helpful in these times. So I'm happy to contribute that and spread my cooking to everyone.
It's a great service. I'm so glad that you're doing it. I'm so glad that you're there. Go to greenapronhi.com to see more of Chef Mark's menus and how you can order food, or go to the chef's box at Chef Zone and you'll see what he's doing. Mark, lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much. Keep up the awesome work.
Great. Thanks again, Joe.
My pleasure. You know, that is such a good service, I think. So you've heard us before also talking to Millie of Fit and Fresh Hawaii. She's doing the same kind of similar thing. She's supplying cakey boxes. She's doing school meals. But I think there's a huge market out there for people to realize that moms and dads and aunties and uncles and anyone who's involved in the care of children really want to give them the best, healthiest food. Nobody wants to be feeding their children poor, saturated fat, high salt, high fat food. Nobody does. People do it because they have no other option. And I love the fact that there are more options coming up. So we are always going to support the chefs who are making a difference for our children. GreenApronHawaii.com is where you'll find Chef Mark Freiberg. And Chef Zone, of course, is where you'll find all of those incredible boxes that they do weekly with different chefs. We are just about out of time. In fact, I think we probably are out of time. So I'm going to thank all of our guests for being with us. See you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.